Hey guys, Tyson Bench Clear Media here. Just pulled into my first card show I've been to in a really long time, probably 2 or 3 years in Calgary now with the pandemic. And meet a couple of friends from a Discord group that hang out in Calgary here, collect cards together. Just gonna check that out. Look for some deals. I'm gonna be true to my podcast, see if we find some Jonathan Taylor, some Pittmans. Be looking for some 2021 cards people might be impatient with, not being able to grade them right now. So we'll check it out and I'll see what kind of deals I get and I'll show you guys. So I'm in the show right now. It's gonna be a little bit smaller. That's gonna be hockey predominantly. Obviously being Canada, that's one of the main poles. So we'll walk around and we'll see what we can figure out. Just made my first small purchase. Just like the green Dylan and Trevor Lawrence blue press proof. So just a little bit of color to start. I made my first trade. I gave up my Lamar PSA 9. Got a Herbert canvas Donner, so it's in pretty good shape. Centering looks good. Got a Jefferson blue checkerboard out of 149 that I'm pretty excited about. I know Select's tough, but I want the numbered stuff. And also got a blaster of Mosaic. Pretty sweet deal. All right, so this is the show takings. So I got this Lawrence here down to 20. It's a little bit rough on the top, but I said I'm going for Donner's color, so that's good. Another Donner's color. So I got a field out of 5. These are all Canadian prices, so if you're thinking overpaid, they're actually pretty good deals. This one, happy with it. Looks pretty good in terms of its condition. Got a Herbert canvas. And Jefferson checkerboard. Pretty cool card. Numbered to 150. Again, if you get select, you want to make sure it's numbered with how much they printed the retail on us. But Mosaic Blaster. Mosaic just kind of a fun product for me. Got Herbert Burrow in here. It's a good class. Probably keep that sealed for a while. But overall, pretty fun first card show in Calgary.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Hi.
I think I can smell that paint you were talking about.
That's right. My wife's been working hard. She's the when she gets like when she's like, hey, I'm gonna paint something, you see her like and she's got paint all over her hair and she just knocks it out one day. I'm not that type. Yeah. How about you?
No, I think we have the same type of wives. I'm not like that either. I'm the guy that pulls everything out of the garage and takes 2 days to do it instead of organizing spots, you know, like so definitely I think we have the same match, if you will.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I've been begging to come on. You won't let me come on your show.
I know. I just get a little selfish. I like to be like independent and just do my own thing. No, man, I enjoy it. It's been too long to have you on. I know you've been. I was moving and you moved, and it's been all craziness for us the past 6 months. It's just been nuts. So, but yeah, let's go over some quick headlines for the football. You know, Panthers are preparing to start Cam, so they signed Cam. He had a touchdown last week. Panthers won. Otherwise, because of Cam, however you want to view that, we'll see. But they're preparing to start him. So, you know, I mean, we know the guy that was there, PJ Hill, I believe that he's nothing really to hang your hat on starting. But really interesting to see what happens if Darnold gets healthy and Cam's winning with the Panthers. It'd be interesting to see if they do there. So, yeah, that's a notable headline to see if Cam had a little bit of resurgence. Baker said he's the most beat up he's ever been and nobody cares. It was the quote.
That's a great quote, and it's very true.
Yeah, and it is, and I think, you know, obviously the hobby feels that way. His cards have dropped quite a bit from the rookie report. Him and Wentz were the two biggest fallers for quarterbacks. The Browns have just been a tough spot. They're a running football team, but they've been they've injured quite a bit, had a lot of tough breaks. They won some big games, lost some bad games, but, I mean, they've been really inconsistent. They blow out the Bengals, and they get blown out last week. So, yeah, there's a tough team to read, but Baker's season's been up and down for sure. Any thoughts on Baker? Are you kind of off on him long term, or how do you feel about Baker? Yeah. I think offense is limiting.
Yeah, I agree. You got top two running back duo. Like you got the top running back duo in the league, and you've had arguably two of the top 20 receivers for 3 years, and you still can't do anything. Like,
yeah,
I think the Browns are moving on from him. That's the thing. Like they're just realizing we committed to you. It didn't work. Like move on. And that the hobby's feeling the same way. I wouldn't touch a Baker Mayfield card.
Yeah, I agree. Kyler's close to returning versus Seattle. I mean, missing two games. It's kind of the same story with Kyle. I think that's one of the concerns with him being invested in the hobby is he tends to get nicked up. A lot of size concerns with him, the way he plays. I mean, obviously, I don't want to say he's injury prone. I don't think it's that big of an issue yet. But he's kind of killed his MVP chances, missed the last couple of games, I think. What are your thoughts on kind of Kyler from a hobby perspective?
I agree. Well, it's interesting because you realize how valuable he is when he leaves. But yeah, to win the award, you got to actually play. Like, you can't miss a fourth of the season and expect to win the award. There's too many other deserving quarterbacks, I think, to win it.
Definitely. And then the last thing I have to mention is just because, you know, I know there's been a lot of disappointment with 2021 quarterback class, even though it was a strong quarterback draft class, having five quarterbacks go in the top 15. And one thing I just want to, like, caution people a little bit is that 2022, I just looked at an early mock draft. There's only three quarterbacks in the first round. The first one wasn't taken until 8. So just kind of let that sink in a little bit in terms of if you're a little disappointed in this year's group, next year is going to be probably even a little bit drier in terms of the quarterback position. So that may, if you want to hedge some bets on 2021 guys or give them some more time, being patient with them might pay off because I don't think you have much to look forward to next year. Matt Corral is decent from Ole Miss. It depends where people land a lot of times, but all in all, it's not going to be close to the depth that 2021 had. So just something to think about.
Yeah. All right. You mentioned that before and I've dug around a little bit and you're right. It is scary to think, and we know what it did to baseball cards when we had an awful draft class.
Yep.
Although it's a little different, right? We knew that coming in 3 years ago, but.
And some guys will get pushed up draft time. Some guys will put up some good numbers at combine. A little bit of hype will come, but it's not gonna have the depth of five guys in the top 15. I can guarantee that. Some product review. So, Collegiate National Treasures came out today. It's a high-end collegiate product, but it's, you know, it's a cool one to watch. You know, being an Oregon fan, I like kind of see the Oregon Duck stuff that comes out of there some stuff sometimes. But I mean, I know it's collegiate, but do you have any thoughts on that? Just kind of overpriced.
You know my thoughts on collegiate products. I mean, to go grab a blaster and open it, but that's about the extent that I get excited.
Yeah, and even National Treasures, you know, collegiate, like, I think National Treasures in general is always just way too expensive out the gate. You know what I mean? It's just hard to even afford to get in. You know, breaks are doing serial number breaks where you're just randomizing a serial number and hoping you're close, you know? So it's crazy.
Yeah.
But XR comes out 24th, definitely a little more affordable. I think XR is I think it's a decent second tier product. They have some pretty cool autos and some nice on-card options from XR. Do you have any thoughts on XR?
I don't have any conviction around it. I mean, it's a cool-looking product.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool-looking product. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun product. I put it kind of there with Origins. It's not going to be awesome, but there's going to be cool stuff that comes out of it. December releases, again, just kind of review for the listeners. Spectre comes out on the 1st, Impeccable the 8th, Illusions the 15th. This is all for December. And then the big one, Mosaic, finally, is the 22nd. So December 22nd, so that's 3 months back. I talked a little bit on my last show, Ty, about how that being so late, I'm really interested in how close Prism is to Mosaic, because last year Mosaic had quite the bubble between Prism before people were looking to Prism. And so I feel like it might be too close this year that Mosaic might get not the love that it got last year. And it might not either because it's the second year of it. But your kind of thoughts on Mosaic being close to Prism?
Well, we don't know if it's going to be close to Prism. We don't know how far Prism's going to get kicked back and back and back. Like, that's the reality. The irony in all this is you and I just started getting some of our graded Mosaics back from last year, right? So it's fun to see them again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Mosaic will do really well. It'll be the first Chrome product that people actually, you know, gravitate towards. So I think it'll do much better than we think.
Yeah, I love the cards. I think they're great cards. I think it's a great kind of step under Prism that's somewhat affordable, that's got great color. I really enjoyed Mosaic last year, and I hope to enjoy it again this year for sure. Just kind of absolute check-in. Like with Absolute and Donner's kind of being the only two, only two things that we're really focusing on right now with the Kabooms and then the Downtowns. Absolute Wax is going for $5.25 for a hobby. Blasters at $42 and Megabox $75. So that's holding pretty strong for the last 3 weeks now. They haven't budged. I thought they'd drop by now, but they haven't. It's like notable Kaboom sales. We have Donald's $260, Herbert $860 for his Kaboom, Lamar Jackson $375, Big Ben $220, Darren Wall out of 10 sold for a grand, Najee Harris for $610, and Trey Lance for $960 and a $1375. So two Trey Lance Kabooms with quite the range there. Kabooms are getting great value right now, even with vets and then second year guys. I think you and I talked a little bit offline about how Kaboom is kind of a step ahead of downtown. I said, like, do you have any idea, Ty, or do you think how the rarity compared to downtown, how much more rare is a Kaboom to downtown, or do you think they're pretty close?
I think they're pretty close. I do. Yeah. I feel like Panini would actually do themselves a favor by sharing the scarcity of these. I think back to like early 90s when Topps shared the scarcity numbers on like refractors, and people knew, like, even if it's just 2,000, right, or if it's something as low as 500, I think it would actually help people get more excited if that's possible. Yeah. But I don't know. I think it's probably comparable. I am curious what you think about the scarcity of like some of the items coming out of Prestige. I like some of the items coming out of Prestige. Like, I like the drips. I think they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it actually hasn't gotten more love.
Right. I haven't heard a lot about the drips, actually, to be honest, but I definitely have kind of heard that the people are the rarity angle. They're wondering how rare they are because they've been hard to find. So I'm interested to see about that for sure. I did forget to mention Mac Jones was $27.50 for Mac Jones' Kaboom. And then Trevor Lawrence is for $2,000. So Mac's bringing in the value right now, way over Lawrence. I still think
well deserved.
Well deserved by what he's showing. I just think that Lawrence is getting kicked down quite a bit. I think we'll see if he can build himself out of that Jags hole, but we'll see. Donner's check-in, because that's still our other flagship we're following. Hobby 375, Blaster 37, Mega 85. Those have been pretty stable right about there for, I don't know, a couple, like 6-7 weeks now. Hasn't really moved much from there. Yeah. A couple downtown sales and a couple notable sales from that I picked up. Trey Lance, downtown 700. These are all in November, so this is new stuff. Devonta downtown for 500. That was kind of after his big game this week, so I thought that was a funny, quick 500 sell for him. Zach Wilson's downtowns all the way down to 1375. I just, not in a mean way, but I kind of chuckled because I remember when I saw the first sale of that was like $1,400 because the card's pretty cool. It's a very cool Jets downtown image, and that card came out real hot before he played, which I thought was interesting. Fields orange auto out of Donruss. That's a sticker auto, but it's orange for $315. And then a really cool, I don't know if you've seen these, Ty, but a Justin Fields silver, the fireworks background. The Donruss has this fireworks background. Sold for $276. So I hadn't seen that till today. I just like, what's a firework background? So it's like a hollow with, he's got fireworks in the background. So I can put that picture up on Twitter, but I did pull it up just the other day. But $276 for that.
Yeah, it's very cool. That's very cool. Yeah. I hadn't seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't either till I was looking earlier today. So really cool. Donner still has some good sales, some good value. There's still, I know that a lot of it, but the hits are, I think, still relatively staying pretty strong. You know, downtowns are down. They're way down. I'm really interested to see how close Kaboom comes down to it because we're still in the Kaboom high. So I'm really kind of watching those Kaboom prices once they settle because I think we're still in that honeymoon stage, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, overall, you have to give mad props to Panini for creating the buzz and creating the, I don't know, just the overall momentum. That's, what, 3 years in a row now, maybe four, where multi-sports are carrying this insert, this scarce insert. And I feel like every year there's more excitement around it.
Yeah.
So I didn't think these would take off as much as they have. And it's just kind of fun. It makes it really fun. It takes you back to mid to late 90s, which we've talked about in recent shows. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, for sure. I think my favorite thing about the Kaboom card is it's really just, it's trademarks is that Kaboom like idea. And it's really like a basic card. It's just a very silver, you know, it has the Kaboom thing, but it's nothing overly fancy other than it's shiny, which a lot of cards are shiny. But I just kind of think that card gets a lot of love for almost its simplicity in a way. So I think it's pretty fun for sure. Do you own any Kabooms?
I don't. No, that's actually one of the things I want to do at the next card show that I go to. I want to snag a few Kabooms. I have some players in mind that I want to get in rather cheaply, if possible.
There you go. Yeah, I don't own one either. I'd like to get one of the downtowns or Kabooms. I'd definitely pick Kaboom if I could find one, but definitely for sure need to get one of those. Yeah. It's almost a staple at this point if you're a real collector.
Yeah, I know, right? Seriously. I knew we were fake collectors. I knew it.
I know. What the heck? It's always important for our cards, especially when it comes to quarterbacks. The MVP chase, MVP is something people follow closely. It kind of gives cards a kick. So I've been following that over the last few weeks. Kyler's, he's down quite a bit. He was the front runner when we first looked at this, but he went from last week to a plus 500 to plus 1600 MGM odds. So he dropped by almost three times. Stafford's staying about the same. But the one thing I want to point out that's really big from last week is that Allen pulled ahead. Last week, Allen and Brady were the same, and now Allen's ahead of Brady. Brady's plus 350 and Allen's plus 300. Or 200, excuse me, plus 200 for Allen. Mahomes went from plus 6,600 to plus 1,700 after his performance on Sunday. I mean, we finally saw the Mahomes that we've been waiting to see, and just seeing that huge jump in his value is just, that's just crazy. Herbert's kind of fallen off the cliff. He's kind of out of it. Rodgers has kind of been staying about the same, just like four, five tier. He's not really in the top three, but he's been fourth and fifth. Dak heavily in it. I think Dak and Stafford are kind of right after the top two there. And Lamar Jackson's kind of fallen after his Thursday night performance. But and then I put a little prop to, I guess, a little self-plug. Cooper Kupp and Jonathan Taylor were the top non-quarterbacks in the MVP race. They're kind of heavy buys for me in the preseason and coming into this year. So yeah. What do you think about the MVP race? Who do you like? Do you think there's anybody – do you think it can be anybody besides Allen and Brady, or do you think it's just a two-man race?
No, I think Stafford has a legit shot. I mean, it did not help that he got absolutely slaughtered this past Monday night, but – I don't feel like A-Rod with the whole COVID thing. I think he legitimately probably doesn't have a shot now because of that.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't sleep on Mahomes even if I wasn't a KC fan. I would still say, you know what, with 6 or 7 games here, he could just blow up and he's right back in the conversation. But I think it's Brady's to lose. I really do. I think it's Brady's to lose. I don't think Josh Allen's done enough to unseat Brady. I think Brady, if he what is how many games we got left? 7.
Yep.
It's 8.
Yeah, they're about.
Yeah, 10, he goes. 6-1, or I guess we got 17 games this year, right? So if you go, you know, 7-1 or 6-2, like, forget about it. It's all Brady's. That's what I think. Yep. What are you?
I think that if I had to put my money, I'd put my money on Brady. But I did say last week that if you have 20, 30, 50 bucks throwing Mahomes, that one was at plus 6,600. So I was just like, that's only going to get better. Like, you know, there's no way he's going to be that low that long.
Yeah, right.
You know, if Green Bay wins out or something, I think that COVID thing kind of erased. I mean, he still only lost one game this year. So I don't think Rodgers is completely out of it. I worry about Stafford a little bit just because he's going to lose a couple more games that division. The division's just tough. I could just think that the Cardinals might get him again or Seattle might get him. Like, I just could see them losing one or two more. And it's just a matter of who, like you said, who goes 7-1 to finish or, you know, 6-2 to finish. Yeah. I think it's what's going to matter the most. I think if Brady gets that one seed, it's pretty much his. The thing that Allen has in his favor, he has a weak, weak division. Like, I mean, Patriots have been playing pretty tough, but the Jets and Dolphins, there shouldn't be too much trouble for him. So I think Allen might have the easiest path. So, all right, just kind of wanted to go over the grading check-in a little bit. It's still really hard to really get a good gauge about all these companies and how their sales are going. Partly because there's not a lot of sales. I mean, even when I look at BGS sales of Justin Herbert Prisms, there's not very many. And so just for us to kind of evaluate all these companies and how they're grading the cards and how they're selling the cards makes it really difficult when there's not of the volume, right? The volume still PSA. PSA still has the most sales for us to actually see how it's doing. But just for context, again, I kind of stick to the Justin Herbert Prism. I did that for a couple of reasons. Relatively new product. A lot of those are being graded now. So a lot of those are being sent to the new companies, I felt. And it's just a good kind of gauge that I think a lot of people are grading Justin Herbert's right now. PSA's 10 for Herbert's 480. A PSA 9 is 115. BGS 9.5 sold for 400. So kind of weird there. That BGS sale is a little bit older. So I think there was a PSA around 650 around that time. So I'd still say that BGS 9.5 is still about that 66% line. Even though the PSA has a more recent lower sale, I thought it was interesting in the nines. SGC 9 is 120, CSG's 9 is 90, and HGA's 9 is 100. So they're all pretty close to a PSA 9 relatively, but then their 10s aren't. And so that's what I also think is interesting. They're not matching up. It's almost like anything's a 9 to people, but everything above a 9, people are interested. And then CSG 9.5, 170, and a SGC 9.5 for 150. And the only SGC 10 I could find was a 262. So that's kind of SGC's best bet. And that's a pretty relatively recent sale. So I think that 262 to the 480 is a pretty comparison for PSA and SGC. I kind of put this on here, Ty, because I know that you started your grading journey, at least in my perspective, BGS heavy. Then you kind of switched to PSA. And then you've done some recent SGC grading. So maybe just do you want to comment on those three, or if you've used the other two, just anything you have to comment on those companies?
Yeah, it has been a journey. You're right, because I feel like as you grade more, you start to fall in love with certain slabs. That becomes a big deal, right? You want the slabs that you like. I get it. Everyone's like, hey, buy the card, not the grade, not the slab. But at the end of the day, like, you got to like the slabs. I started to really dislike the BGS slabs, just did not like them. But to me, it's an SGC PSA and then, okay, maybe BGS race. Like HGA anymore, CSG, I do not like the CSG slabs. And
yeah,
the green hybrid we've talked about enough, right? It's just too phony to me right now. And you want to protect your money. You want to protect your investment the best you can.
Yeah.
So SGC is kind of the surprise hit to me in all this. They're holding their value well. There's upside with the 10s. The 9.5s do really well. They got the vintage background. I'm a big fan of SGC. I mean, PSA is the mother load. That's what you want. But there's a big dichotomy between PSA 10s and PSA 9s. Like, there's a massive gap.
Yeah. It's almost 60% in some of them.
It's crazy. And it's consistent.
Yeah. And that's what, to me, when it comes to grading these cards in general, I think the grading the base game, especially in baseball, I think football might be okay because it's still a lower population, but grading the base game has to be very selective. Used to be send anything. 10's great. I made a lot of money. 9's, I'm still making money. Well, 9's, you're not making money anymore. And so, you know, like, it's just not, it's not the same. Like you said, we're not printing money with grading anymore. It's definitely becoming that junk wax, junk slab era that you and Mike talk about on your show, that I couldn't agree more. It's just exactly where we're heading. To 9s are the big things people try to just get rid of.
Yeah, no, and we're going to talk about this anyway, so might as well talk about it now. But I think you're seeing the smart money has shifted from buying guys that are rookies, you know, taking the gamble, and you're seeing them shift from the mints to the gym mints.
Yep.
They know that the best way to protect their money is to buy gym mints. That's where the scarcity is, even for base cards. That's where the scarcity is for a lot of these players, especially 17 and earlier.
Right.
So I think that's what's driven down a lot of these prices. And then you take away grading for a lot of these new guys. There's nothing for them to get excited about outside of the big hits, which a lot of us can't play in that game.
Right.
And so I think it took the air right out of the balloon, if you will, like, for some of these recent rookie classes.
Yep.
It's kind of unfortunate.
I mean, even in my rookie report for football, in the top 9, there's only one guy from 2018 and newer.
Yeah.
One guy, right? And you didn't say 2017 and newer. That's two guys, Mahomes and Allen. Everybody else is pre that. I think in baseball, we're seeing the same thing. People are wanting the Hall of Famers, Miguel Cabrera's, the Buster Posey's, the stuff that they know wasn't overprinted or overgraded. You know, that stuff, there's a difference between overprinted, overgraded. A lot of people weren't grading posies, right? So it just makes it much more attractive. They go look at Pop Report, they see 250. They're like, oh man, that's cool, 250, right? So I think people are paying more attention to Pop Report as well. I think that's what's hurting Burrow and Herbert. I think that's why 2020 Prism is kind of limited. I think it's kind of similar to 18 update in baseball. I just think that the ceiling for Burrow and Herbert will always be capped because they're both already more than almost triple Mahomes' silver PSA 10.
Yeah.
And so what are you going to do with that? Right? Like, how are you, in terms of scarcity, where's that going to go? And then my last point, 2020, that I think really hurts them is they also have probably what, I don't know off the top of my head, but I'd say 30, 35 more parallels in Prism.
Yeah. Yeah. It's confusing. It's confusing. Right. Like, the smart buyers know that.
Right.
Don't, right? And so the smart money goes to things that allow them to keep prices high, and the weak hands, you know, they're just getting beat up, man. They're just getting beat up, and I think that's going to continue. There is a problem. Mike said this on an interview he was on with Personal Finance Day last night, and he was talking about how he's got these two cards, right? You got a Mike Trout, and you got a Ty Cobb or something. And he's like, when I can buy this for the same price as this, problem, right? And I think people are starting to realize that you can go buy a Barry Sanders rookie for the same price you can go buy a lot of these quarterbacks and rookies that that haven't proven themselves, right?
Or even why would you go buy it? Sweetness PSA 9, right? You know, take that all day over having one of 2,500 Herberts. There's not 2,500 sweetness PSA 9s. And I just think that – I, to me, as a, again, I won't say true collector and sound conceited, but I care about the scarcity. Like, I'm already going through my collection. Anything with over a pop of 2,000, yeah. I'm not as interested in keeping as much. I'm just like, ah, there's 2,000, 2,500 of these. They'll come back around.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I look and, you know, I have a good grade on a Bobby Witt Green Mojo as a pop 5, that's sweet. I want a pop 5 card, you know.
Yeah, I want that card too. I want that card too. So no, but you're right. You're right. There is a massive shift taking place right now into vintage, and it's for the right reason. People got overwhelmed with the overprinting, but they want to stay in the hobby.
Yeah.
And they know the best way to do that is to go buy scarcity and to go buy things that they can't reprint, things that you can't probably grade again. That's what I think. There's exceptions to the rule. I think Tom Brady's the exception to the rule right now. Yep. I think that's, we're going to talk about buys and sells. Like, he's a no brainer to me, right? You're not going to ever see a guy like this again. Probably. Yep. Right?
Never.
Never. Yep. Never going to, the stats like this, you're never going to see it.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, into our buy and sell segment, you have Tom Brady. I mean, that's, it's pretty straightforward. I think the problem with buying Tom Brady is, can you afford it? I think you've been doing a lot of research and actually really going through collections, seeing different things, and you've found quite a few, I'd say maybe affordable Tom Brady's or different Tom Brady's that you could go for besides Bowman Chrome. Do you have any you want to share?
Yeah, I do. So if you're going for rookies, like, I go buy the Auroras, go buy the Pacifics. You know, you can get gems and gem mints for reasonable prices. You don't have to go buy the Bowman Chrome, you know, right now.
Right.
But I'm a big fan of going like 2002 to 2009, basically. And there's a lot of great Topps Chrome stuff in there. A lot of great Bowman Chrome stuff in there. Go get the X-Fractors. Go get the Refractors. Buy them raw. Grade them. I think that's an insanely good strategy because there's just not a lot of it out there.
Right.
There's just not. Yeah. And they look so stinking good. They're just great cards.
Yeah.
I think that's the stuff that's – it's just a no-brainer. Like, you're going to protect your money and get in at Tom – reasonably good prices for Tom Brady.
No, I like it.
I think the same for A-Rod too. Like, you're talking about a guy, we're talking about him getting his fourth MVP this year. Like, he's starting to enter that upper echelon where you can get into his PSA 10 Topps rookie for less than a grand. Yep. $750 for an A-Rod PSA 10 gem mint rookie. Like, that is an insanely good buy right now.
Yeah, that's why I had to move his rookie card on my report from Topps to Topps Chrome. Was like, I can't keep putting this so low for it being a Topps card. We got to put the Topps Chrome at 5,400, given the respect he deserves on the list, because, like, it's just his Topps card's way too cheap. It is. I agree.
Way too cheap. Yeah. And you got some other ones like the Turkey Reds and stuff that are kind of rare. And that was it, 2005 or 6. Like, it. I don't know. I'm a sucker for like base rookies. For Hall of Famers that are playing now, you can root them on. You can stay in the hobby, watch these guys, but still buy into like the longevity of them. Like, sign me up. Don't take
it's much easier game than chasing that number one overall pick and hoping it pans out. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I think my guys and all. I think my guy on my buy is a Hall of Famer, Russell Wilson. I still think that I think he's gonna be a Hall of Famer based on what he's done now, and I still think he's gonna be a guy that's gonna play for a really long time. I do believe that. I think the way he takes care of himself and whatnot. And I do think his Seattle days are numbered. I know there's a lot of rumblings about he wanted out this year. I think it might even get bigger rumblings this summer. He wants out again. And I just can kind of see a rebirth. And so I think he's going to get kind of a nice buy window here for us towards the end of this season as they're, you know, 3-5, which is not Seattle-like. And I think he might have a good little chance to even get a bump. And, you know, who knows, maybe he lands with the Saints. You know, think about Russell Wilson with Sean Payton. You know, I just think there's a lot of landing spots where I could see him have a nice rebirth to his career, and I'd be all over trying to get some of his prison rookies before that happens.
I'm with you. I'm with you for sure. It's tough around here, right, because this is all Seattle Seahawks country, all overhype and overpriced and overthink Russell Wilson. So you kind of have to skate through all that and
navigate.
I agree. I think he's out of here.
Yep. Probably just to myself, since they're kind of connected, I think sell DK because, like I said, Wilson's numbers – if his days are numbered, that's not good for DK. And DK is not playing great this year. He's been very consistent. You know, got thrown out of the game last week. I'm not liking what I'm seeing from him, even though I think obviously physically he's one of the most physically talented receivers in the game. He's just not putting together this year. And I'm even extra worried if Russell leaves. I think he's going to be in a really tough spot. So I'd definitely be selling DK if you have him.
Yeah. If you want to go buy a receiver, go buy a PSA 6 Jerry Rice rookie. And you'll be happy. You won't sweat it anymore.
Yep. Even CD Lamb looked good last week. No.
Yeah, he did. He actually really did. Yeah. My sell is Lamar Jackson. you know, I, again, going back to our point, he's the one guy where I don't think he has the longevity to justify any of the prices we see now.
Yeah.
I just don't. I don't know. He's electric. I get it. He's electric, but we've seen electric before. Go look at what you can buy Michael Vick rookie for.
Yeah. Like,
that to me should tell you everything you need to know about Lamar Jackson. Until he proves himself and gets to the Super Bowl, wins a Super Bowl, then the whole game changes. But
yeah,
for me, he's just too high. He's just too pricey.
My kind of bold statement with Lamar is that I almost feel like he already would be, I don't want to say out or a backup quarterback, but if he wasn't in the Ravens, I think things would be a lot different in his career. I think he landed in a very good situation, a team that like finds ways to utilize their guys the best way possible. And like, you know, if he went to the Falcons, he might have that shortened Vic type style career, you know, until he bounced around and found somewhere to use him correctly. So what I'm saying is I think right now he's in the best situation possible with the Ravens and what they do. How long does that last? You know, like, are they going to want to pay him? Like, are they working hard to make it work for him? We'll see what happens. Obviously, Thursday was ugly, but he's had some good games this year. But the passing's got to improve. Same thing. Him and Hurts are kind of the same for me. Just watching them pass, is the efficiency's not there.
Brutal.
Yeah. So just quick two more segments here, Ty. We'll get out of here. Who am I watching on week 11? I'm watching Justin Fields, man. I feel like his drumbeat's been getting a little bit better each week. I feel like I really like the throws he made on Monday night against Pitt, even though they lost. He brought him back on the two-minute drill, got a touchdown to put him ahead, but the defense couldn't hold and almost got him a field goal at the end. They're just a little short. But every week, he seems like he's getting a little better. That's very encouraging. I want to see how he's off the bye week against the Ravens. I think that's a big game for him in terms of progression.
I'm going to be honest. I actually slipped out and snagged a few raw number Justin Fields after Monday night because I thought, you know what? This guy looks pretty good. And side note, I think the best way to play some of these guys is buying raw cards right now. Don't buy graded, overpriced graded. I love it. I think he looks awesome.
I picked up a number at the card show as well last weekend, so definitely on with you on that. Hurts versus Saints, just because Hurts played good last week. He actually looked good against Denver. Denver's had a pretty good defense. They were really good against Dallas 2 weeks ago, but I want to see if Hurts can be doing two games in a row. You know, can he root on consistency? Because I feel like the Eagles, I still don't think the Eagles are sold on him. If the Eagles aren't, we can't be. So I'm really, if he needs to win over that organization at some point, if not, he's going to be a backup or be shipped off probably during the draft. So I'm interested to see what happens there.
Yep, I agree.
Joe Burrow versus Vegas. Bengals were in a really good spot. They're at 5-2, look really good, dropped to the Jets, and then they got just smoked by the Browns. And so that was a really bad two games. Hopefully they reset in the bye week, come back and get back on track, because I was liking what I was seeing from that team. That team looked really good. They looked balanced. They have good rushing attack, good receivers. So I'm kind of hoping the Bengals get back on track, and I'm watching Joe Burrow.
Me too. Ohio needs something to cheer for NFL-wise. come on, Cincy.
Yeah, definitely. And then last one, the other 2020 guy, watching Herbert. Chargers also lost three of their last four. They're slipping as well. Pittsburgh tied the Lions last week, so somebody's got to give there. Is it going to be the Chargers or Pitt? We'll see if Big Ben's back. But right now, the Lions looking like Herbert's and the Chargers are favored by 5.5, so they might not think Big Ben's going to be back. So I'm interested to see if Herbert can get going again.
Yeah, well, it's interesting with Herbert. I've watched those last couple games. He's actually played pretty good.
Yeah.
His receivers are dropping balls, and his defense can't stop anybody to save their lives. Like it's put a lot of pressure and the focus on Herbert, but I think he's done surprisingly well.
Yeah. I still think that we overvalue his situation a bit. Eckler's a good receiving back. Allen's kind of aging a bit. Mike Williams is really inconsistent. That O-line is starting to get built up a bit. But like you said, the defense isn't quite there. That full team of Chargers isn't quite there for him to be super successful yet. I don't think either. Yeah, so just kind of games of note, Ty, that I'm just kind of looking forward to. I think Colts at Buffalo is a big game. Buffalo, you know, finally, you know, they lost to the Jags 2 weeks ago, came back as the Jets, pretty easy win. But the Colts are in a kind of must-win game at Buffalo. They need to run the ball to make it happen. Buffalo's great against the run, so I'm really interested to see how Taylor does against Buffalo. Packers at Vikings. I just put that on there because the Vikings got a big win last week. Vikings are also kind of a must-win at 5-5. The Packers have been playing well, but that's a division game. Vikings tend to give Green Bay trouble at times, so interesting to see what happens there. Bengals at Raiders, just because I think, like I said, to see the Bengals get back on track. Raiders coming off the shellacking, it's KC. Are they going to pack it in or surprise us again? Like the Raiders are so hard to predict what they're going to do.
So hard. so hard.
And then you and I's little Super Bowl this week, Cowboys at KC. KC's a 2.5 favorite. You want to make a little friendly wager?
Well, I already got a friendly wager out with Mike. So, yes, I'll make a friendly wager with you.
What's your friendly wager with Mike?
Well, ours is pretty expensive. The loser has to come to the other person's city for a show in the spring. And they have to pay their own way, which I would love for you to come down to Montana for a show in the spring. But yeah. I don't know if I can get into Canada. So I don't know if I can – if I lose that, man, I might not be able to get in.
Yeah, we'll figure out the other part. But yeah, I'd come down and visit a card show for sure. I think it's a friendly bet. I got to come down and get that bag of coffee on the Drew Lock bet. So I'm going to have to come down at some point.
That's true. I got a bunch of great cards too. How about we put your Bobby Witt card up for this game?
Oh, no. my best card in my sub?
No, we're not doing that for sure. Let's do the other person gets to pick any blast of current products, football products, all right. This year.
That sounds good.
Is that fair?
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
Okay.
All right. We'll go straight up too. I won't get points. We'll straight up. You and Mike go straight up.
Straight up for sure. That's basically a straight up bet anyway. They're giving us 2.5 for the home game. This determines which of the quarterbacks is going to be in the conversation for MVP. Yeah, so they're going to. I think the winner of this will be the one that we can talk about. So,
yeah, and I think Mahomes would be like, "Man, I wish I had all those receivers that Dallas has, not just one."
Oh, right. No kidding.
So we have Cardinals at Seattle again, just to kind of see if Seattle gets off the deck or if Cardinals finish them again. We don't know if Kyler's playing; they might hold him out one more game to make sure he's completely healthy. I mean, they're 1-1 without him, so we'll kind of see what happens there. I'm just interested to see if Russell gets back on track because obviously it's the first time Russell's ever been shut out in his career. The snow played a part, but Green Bay's defense has been pretty tough. Chargers at Pitt. Again, we already mentioned that. Pitt tied the Lions last week. Chargers a tough loss. Chargers need to get back on track. They're going to keep up pace in that division. AFC West has been kind of crazy, just like the AFC North. All AFC West and AFC North, all four teams in all four divisions, nobody has a losing record, and they're all a game and a half apart from top to bottom in both divisions. So AFC West and AFC North can be very interesting finish, to say the least. I think speaking of that, want to make a pick on those two divisions? Who do you think is going to be the North champion?
Who's your pick first?
I think the North – I'll say this. I think it's going to be the Ravens, but I want it the Bengals. I like to see somebody else besides the Steelers or Ravens, personally.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to be the Steelers for sure. But I'm going to go with the Bengals. Because I just want it to happen. I'm going to will it.
There you go.
We all want AFC, it. We all want our AFC West. To be worse than... come on. AFC West.
Yeah, Broncos and Locke, right? Is that what we're doing? No?
Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if Locke's playing in a couple weeks.
No, I know.
Bridgewater's been kind of meh.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's KC right now. It's funny how bad KC's played, and they're still at the top. They lost their chance. Chargers lost their chance. All those guys lost their chance to really have a chance to win that division. So, I'm with you on that. All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate you being on the show. Good little hobby chat, and many more ahead. Yes!